Rotary International, a world fellowship of business and professional men with a common ideal of service, presents the Rotary Golden Theater. More than 8,000 Rotary clubs in 88 countries throughout the world are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Rotary International, an organization fostering the ideal of service in personal, business, and community life, and working for the advancement of international understanding, goodwill, and peace through a world fellowship of business and professional men. In observance of its golden anniversary and as a public service, Rotary International brings you the Rotary Golden Theater. As we enter the Rotary Golden Theater, the bright lights blaze forth the title of the drama we are about to see, Magic Formula. We take our seats. The curtain rises on a dimly lit room, a pleasant room in which the seated figure looks remarkably like you. A stranger, standing in front of a picture window, speaks.
Hello. You recognize my voice? You should, because you know me well. I've been everywhere, and I'm as old as man. In Europe, in the 13th century, while I labored to find the secret of turning dross metal into pure gold, I was called an alchemist. In ancient India, called a faker. In the gold rush of 1849, I was called a prospector. Actually, I represent man's hopes and dreams. From the beginning of time, I've looked for a mystic amulet or magic incantation that could give me everything I want. Success, friends, peace of mind and spirit, the confidence and respect of those around me. And I have found it. I have found the great secret in 25 simple words. Words that first were formulated in a year of despair, the Depression year of 1932. This is the true story of a man who has never been impressed by names, who feels that a man's good name is more important than his signature. To keep his name and position and prestige from overshadowing our story, let us call him John Grant of Central City, Illinois, USA.
Order! Order! Quiet, please! We can't all talk at once, and regardless of how much we shout, we get back to the same conclusion. This company is broke.
Let's sell the assets and salvage what we can.
The company's debts are $400,000 more than its total assets.
So we have to take a loss that none of us can afford. What else can we do?
As creditors, we have two choices. We can take a big loss, or we can try to save the company and our own investment. The right kind of management might do it.
Some of the best managers in the world are going broke these days. Any man who pulls this company out of its difficulties will have to be a genius.
I have a man in mind, John Grant.
He is a good man. Find out if he's interested. Frankly, the job would scare me to death.
And that's the situation as fairly as I can give it to you, John. The company has a good product, but so do its competitors.
What kind of an operating budget will I have?
We can't put another cent into the company, John. If any money's to be raised, you'll have to do it.
You expect me to put money into the company when you won't?
We won't because we can't. The picture's far from pretty, but we believe you could improve it. Well, what do you say?
I'll take the job.
John Grant was able to scrape together $6,100 in operating capital. With such a slender backlog, he needed a magic formula. He needed it every day as he faced obstacle after obstacle, handicap after handicap.
There you are, Mr. Grant, the last letter.
Oh, thanks for working so late, Miss Haynes. I appreciate it. Good night.
Mr. Grant, aren't you leaving now, too?
Not yet, for a while.
But you work night after night. It isn't fair.
I'm trying to find something to make this company succeed. Something that will give us a right to succeed.
I don't quite understand.
Well, to be really successful, any company must excel in some way. Must have more of something than its competitors.
But isn't your fault that this company's bankrupt, Mr. Grant? And anything you could do to improve our product would cost money. Well, good night.
Good night, Miss Haynes. Anything you could do to improve our product would cost money. Well, perhaps she's right. No. No, the people in a company mean more than dyes or machinery. And character can't be bought with money. If we can develop character and service-mindedness and dependability in our people, no competitor can better us with money.
And so John Grant's motto became, in right, there is might. Without knowing it, he was on the trail of the secret words, the magic formula for success.
Here's that letter for Harrisburg, Mr. Grant.
What? Oh, thank you, Miss Haynes.
My goodness, you'll get a headache reading all that fine print in this light. What in the world is it you're reading?
The code of ethics for our industry. This is a fine code, Miss Haynes. We need it. And so does everyone else in our industry. It's a spelled-out set of rules. But I want something more.
What more do you need?
I need some assurance that our men are applying those rules to everything they do. Oh, I know they can refer to the code when a problem arises, but I want them to do the right thing almost instinctively, under any circumstances.
That's asking quite a lot.
I have a hunch that what we need is a few simple questions a man can ask himself in any business situation. Questions to which his own conscience will give him the right answers. But what are those questions?
I don't know.
Neither do I. But I'm going to find out.
John Grant became a seeker of truth, a searcher for the great secret, the secret that could make life richer and happier. He asked for inspiration, and it came.
Miss Haynes, would you please type something for me? I want to put it under the glass on my desk.
All right.
You ready to take it?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. The heading will be The Four-Way Test.
Right.
One, is it the truth? Two, is it fair to all concerned? Three, will it build goodwill and better friendships? Four, will it be beneficial to all concerned?
Is that all?
I rather think so. Yes, I'm convinced it's all we need.
And there you have the great secret, the magic words that can open the door to success, the four-way test. Yes, there it is, in 25 words. Disappointed? Well, John Grant was, too, at first. Disappointed and discouraged.
Oh, hello, Bill.
Hi, Mr. Grant. I'm supposed to get your okay on these ad layouts.
Oh, just a second. Well, I'm sorry, Bill.
Sorry about what?
That I can't approve the layouts.
But why not? I think they're the best ads we've ever had.
They'd be fine if they were true.
Oh, I don't understand.
Bill, the ads simply aren't true. These extravagant claims, the finest design, the best quality, unequaled construction. Nobody can say that one design is the finest. Who determines quality? How do we know that a competitor can't equal something we offer?
But everybody does it, Mr. Grant. They all say they have the best and the finest. The public expects it.
People may expect it, but they don't like it. From now on, we're telling the truth in our advertising, Bill. If we prepare an ad and can't answer yes to the question, is it the truth? That ad will be scrapped.
There were times during the trial period for the four-way test that John Grant was tempted to remove the little typed piece of paper from his desk and toss it into the wastebasket. More than once, the four-way test caused him worry and discouragement.
Mr. Grant, with all the trouble the four-way test has given you, why don't you give it up?
Because I'm sold on its great worth, Miss Haynes. I'm convinced that the four-way test has the same goals as most religious doctrines. But I want to find out for sure by talking to our four department heads.
But what do our department heads know about religious doctrine?
Each of them knows about his own, and our four department heads happen to be a Roman Catholic, a Christian Scientist, an Orthodox Jew, and a Presbyterian.
John Grant was right. All four of his department heads agreed that there was nothing in the four-way test which was contrary to the ideals of their religious faiths. They all agreed, too, that truth, justice, friendliness, and helpfulness, if constantly applied in business, should result in greater success and progress.
Now, all right, we're agreed. We're going to use this four-way test in all four departments. But exactly how far do we go?
There can't be any compromise. You'll use the four-way test in checking proposed plans, policies, and statements. We'll check all of our advertising with it. It will also change our policies concerning competition. From now on, whenever we find an opportunity to speak well of a competitor, we'll do it.
That's certainly going to be a different approach.
We're going to use the four-way test inside our organization, too. It applies to our relations with our own personnel and our suppliers, as well as our customers.
And so the four-way test became a 25-word guidebook. A full-scale application of idealism to business. Many outsiders thought it was impractical and visionary. But let's listen to a meeting of John Grant and his key executives 23 years after the Dark Depression year of 1932. 23 years after the inception of the four-way test.
You've brought the company a long, long way in 23 years, John.
I haven't brought it anywhere, Bill. All of us working together have accomplished a great deal. But I think every man in this room is willing to give credit to our prime success factor.
The four-way test. I was thinking about it this morning before I came in here. Starting from a bankrupt condition in 1932, our company has paid its debts in full. We paid our stockholders over $1 million in dividends. And the company has a conservative value of over $2 million. John, your $6,100 investment has accomplished quite a miracle, hasn't it?
My $6,100 plus some good, hard-working people with high ideals and strong faith in God.
It's meant more than business success to me, John. I'm sure it has to all of us. The four-way test has made me financially successful, certainly. But it has also made me a better father, a better friend, and a better citizen.
From nothing, from less than nothing, really, to multi-million-dollar success. That's quite a record, isn't it? The record of a simple formula that brought success to one company. But will it work for others? It already has worked for others, for thousands of people all over the world. Through Rotary International, the four-way test has been carried to the four corners of the earth.
Gentlemen, we know what Rotarian John Grant has accomplished with the four-way test. In complete accord with our ideal of service, I move that this board of directors of Rotary International bring the four-way test to the attention of all our clubs as a means of furthering the vocational service phase of the Rotary program.
Second the motion.
And Rotary International did bring the four-way test to the attention of its membership. Rotarians in Calcutta, India, distribute a beautiful porcelain plaque displaying the four test questions. The Rotary Club of Moji, Japan, printed the text in Japanese and distributed it to schools, industrial plants, even to railroad depots. You'll find its words printed on redwood in Gerberville, California, on desk plaques in Albert Lea, Minnesota, on public school blackboards in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And you'll find the four-way test in French, Spanish, Portuguese, Danish, Swedish, and German. Through the efforts of Rotary clubs in many communities, the four-way test is to be found on the desks of legislators and government officials. Through the distribution of printed copies, discussion, and practice of its principles, Rotary International has shown its enthusiasm for the four-way test. That belief has been justified by the results. The four-way test works. It can work for you if you'll give it a chance. Is the four-way test really magic? No, of course not. Unless followed by hard work and good deeds, the words are worthless. Are they new? Again, the answer is no. The four-way test is merely a yardstick which we can use to measure and appraise business conduct in all human relations. One, is it the truth? Two, is it fair to all concerned? Three, will it build goodwill and better friendships? Or will it be beneficial to all concerned?
And so, with the words of the four-way test, the curtain falls on the documentary play, Magic Formula, presented by the Rotary Golden Theater as a public service in commemoration of the 50th anniversary of Rotary International, a world fellowship of business and professional men with a common ideal of service.